Welcome to Living Truth Ministries. My name is Ron Alfton, and today we conclude the 7 reasons our prayers are not answered. In the past few lessons, we have learned why our prayers are unanswered. We learn, how can He answer if we do not ask God? Our prayers are not answered because there is sin in our life. Our prayers are not answered because of our unbelief. Our prayers are not answered because of unrighteous motives. We have also learned that our prayers are not answered because of unresolved conflict. Our prayers are not answered because of uncompassionate heart. So today we're going to talk about our prayers are not answered because of unresponsive husbands and fathers. Husbands, this is especially for you as you are the head of the house just as Christ is the head of the church. In 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayer. Husbands, how you treat your wives depends on whether your prayers will be answered. You have chosen her to be your wife. God so ordained it. You are to treat her better than your car or some sports that you're involved in. God gave her to you as a helpmate, not to be your slave or your children's babysitter. It's time to put down those video games and pay more attention to your wife and kids. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 24 says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and fowl of the air, to the beast of the field, but for Adam there was found no helpmeet. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Adam was a half a man. He was not complete until God created woman. God did not make woman from earth's dust like he did man and all the animals and creatures on the earth. The woman is a remarkable creation. God made her the most beautiful of all of his creations and gave her unique gifts and talents that man does not have and are to use to help man. So God put Adam into a deep sleep, opened the flesh of Adam, removed his rib, and then closed him up. This is the first surgery ever performed. God then took the rib and made woman, Eve, and then brought her to Adam. When Adam saw Eve, he immediately knew this was his other half, because he said, "This is now bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Adam and Eve became one in body, mind, and spirit. Adam was to protect and care for her as though she were his body. Sex within a marriage, God ordained. Sex in a marriage is not only to bring children into the world, but is also for pleasure and recommitment. When a husband and wife have sex, they come together as one flesh, as one mind, as one spirit. They are reassuring each other that they are one and that there is no one else. I am committed to you and only you. There is no one else that will ever come between us. Now concerning the matters about you which you wrote, it is good for man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her congenital rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. As found in 1 Corinthians 7:1-5. When a husband or a wife refuses to have sex with each other, they leave their marriage open to Satan's temptation and to infidelity. This is why we must come together as one with our husband or wife. Keep Satan out of your marriage. Stop making excuses why you can't, and make time for each other. Yes, medical conditions may prevent a husband and wife from coming together, which is okay. But if that's not the case, then come together as one flesh. Too often, when sex leaves a marriage, someone will commit fornication or adultery. In most marriages, the sex life seems to diminish to a standstill. We have too many reasons for that, or maybe I should say excuses. We use the excuse, and a lot of that is true, we are overworked. On the job or at home, frustration in our lives, marriage, work, and home, whatever is causing it, you need to talk and pray about it to get it resolved so Satan has no chance to come in and destroy your marriage and your home. Husband, you and your wife took an oath when you were married. You two made a contract with each other and with God. That contract is a lifetime contract with each other. We will stand before God and give an account for the actions and decisions we make in not only our personal lives, but also our marriage. With that in mind, you can see that marriage relationship is not to be one of man insisting on treating his wife like a child who must jump every time he says so. She is there to help him. She is there to be part of him. She is there to love, support, and to help keep him in line with God. The husband is there to love and protect her, to give her understanding, to lead her and his family in the ways of God, to pray with her and for her. In a Christian marriage, there is no such thing as 50-50. There is no such thing, this is mine and this is yours. There are no eyes or me or mine. There is only ours and us. Why? Because the Bible says the husband and wife are one, not two. How can you divide earthly goods with yourself? You can't. It's impossible. When was the last time you walked up to your wife or your husband and hugged and kissed him and said, "I love you"? Just because you are married doesn't mean you have the right to neglect each other. That is a part of showing your love and affection for each other, and it is essential. It shows Satan that you two are committed to each other. Please stop with the "I am better than you" attitude that we can quickly develop in our marriage. Stop criticizing your mate and start praying for your mate. Ladies, stop trying to take authority over your husband. God said that man is the head of the wife and not the other way around. That is all foolishness. Are you better than yourself? Do you go about criticizing yourself? If you do, how's that working out? I was on a job a few years ago, and my boss and a couple of guys were talking about their marriages. One of the guys said how controlling his wife was. My boss spoke up and said, "Boys, I'm the boss in my family because I am the man. Then he paused and said, "And I have my wife's permission to say so." There's nothing worse in a marriage than a partner criticizing each other. It is degrading, and it gives way to Satan and his demons to enter your marriage and home. Criticizing each other creates hatred and is sin. The Bible tells us to pray for each other and to love one another. Nowhere will you find in the Bible says to criticize each other. If your partner is doing something wrong or something you do not like, I find it better to talk to them about it. If they do not hear you, don't argue. Go and tell God about it. God will show you if you are wrong. And if you know that you are not wrong, ask him to deal with that person. But keep your mouth shut. But if he shows you that you are wrong, repent and get it out of your life. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their husband in everything." Yes, some wives do the duty of man because he refuses to take his role as head of the house, which is a disgrace to the man and not to the wife. Ladies, pray for your husband. God is the only one who knows how to deal and change the heart of the husband. Husbands, it may be your wife has forgotten her duty to you and is trying to control you. Pray for her and love her unconditionally. Allow God to change her and stop attempting to change her. We want God to answer our prayers, so let's get sin and the stoppers out of our lives. Romans 13:9 says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Now where it says, neighbor, what's your husband or wife's name? Love is an action word. So our marriage will be the best when we do as God commands. Love your neighbor as yourself is a commandment Jesus gave us. And Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Husband, lead your family down the path of righteousness. Love her more than you love yourself. Be there for her. Always listen. Don't shut her out. Take her flowers. Walk up to her and say, "Honey, I love you." Hug her. Hold her. You know, there's times we need to be held, the wife especially. Hold her and let her know that you love her. If she comes to you with her problems, no matter how small, listen to her. If it's possible, fix that problem. If you can't fix the problem, pray with and for her and ask God to correct that problem or show you how to fix the problem. Pray for each other is what God expects from us. Be that leader in your marriage and family. Wives, be compassionate and understanding. If you see your husband drifting away from God or his duties to you and the family, gently, lovingly guide him back. Help him get back to the path of righteousness. Pray for your husbands. No, it's not an easy task, but it will be worth it when you allow God to be God. Fathers, you are to be the leader of your family. And you must raise your children in the ways of the Lord. You are the one to lovingly discipline your children and not do it out of anger. You and the child's mother are to teach your children right from wrong, manners, and respect for God, country, and fellow human beings. Be a father. That's your job and yours alone and not your wife. Do things with your kids. Make them feel important because they are in God's eyes. Never degrade your children or call them stupid or dummy or incompetent. When is the last time that you hugged your child and you said, "I love," and you kissed your child? Show them how to act and live. A child watches their parent growing up right up until the death of the parent. Teach them how to be parents. Let's return love, trust, compassion, and the Word of God in our marriage. Keep God always centered in our marriage. I pray that this series of prayer stoppers has helped you in some way to get your prayers answered. In this series, we have learned, 1, we have learned how can God answer prayers if we don't ask Him. 2, our prayers are not answered because there is sin in our lives. 3, our prayers are not answered because of our unbelief. 4, our prayers are not answered because of unrighteous motives. 5, we learned that our prayers are not answered because of unresolved conflict. 6, our prayers are not answered because of uncompassionate hearts. And 7, our prayers are not answered because of unresponsive husbands and fathers. May God richly bless you.